Consequence Podcast Network.
Tour set pop.
Borahe, Iconic Army.
Borahe.
Oh my gosh, we just recently went to the D-Day Tour concert movie together with a few of our friends, and it was so much fun. It was such a great time. I brought Jordan, my husband, along, so he got to experience his Bias's concert, since he obviously didn't get to go with us last May.
Right.
And Bethany, you brought along your sister Britt and our friend Shelly. So it was so great to have that concert experience with them.
It was a lot of fun. And Brittany, in particular, she had regretted so hard that she did not get tickets to D-Day and concert, and that she was like, I regret it. She had been seeing it all over social media. She said, how could I? So of course, whenever this movie was coming out, she's like, I have to. And so I feel like out of our seat, she had the best seat in the house. She was like right in the middle.
Perfect seat.
Yeah. And it was just so wonderful getting to sit next to her, because she truly was like experiencing it as if like this is the first time she's seen the concert, clearly, because she hadn't before. And so just getting all of her reactions and everything was great. She ended up going to see it again.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my
gosh. She took her friend Caroline and her friend from work, I forgot her name, I think Jordan, who is a Yoongi Bias.
Yeah.
And so they ended up getting back, specifically back row seats, so that they could bring their army bombs.
Cute. Yeah, people did that at our first movie theater. Yeah.
Which, I don't know why, but like I was very excited to go and see D-Day, just because I wanted to relive that concert experience. I remember how incredible it was for both of us in Chicago. But I got so honed in on just like the actual concert itself that I totally forgot that like I was going to be in a movie theater with ARMY.
Same.
And like the freebies, there were people handing out, you know, like the just people were handing out tissues. And I'm like, oh my God, I forgot that I cried like 10 times at this concert. Like, why did I not think of that?
For real.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was amazing. Just like right when Jordan and I parked, like something about Jordan is he always backs into a parking space. And so we're backing in and I see the two cars' license plates right across from our car. And one of them is BTS 613 and the other one was Tannies. So fucking cute. And I was like, oh,
their
my
debut
gosh.
Day and the Tannies, so cute.
BTS ARMY are here. And new info for you, Bethany. The girls that were handing out the freebies in the theater to all of us when Jordan and I were leaving and going to our car, we saw them getting into those two cars.
No way. Yeah. Wow. So they're dedicated ARMY.
They are dedicated ARMY. Yeah. It was so great. Oh my gosh. I loved like the super cut of the concert where we got like the Jungkook during Burn and Jimin during Tony Montana and Namjoon during fucking Strange.
How many times did I turn to you like, did I just forget that this is like the Seoul concert? Like I was just so mentally prepared for the exact concert I saw in Chicago, and that's so not what it was.
Right. And it wasn't even like the same order of set list. It didn't even include all the songs from like the tour that we saw.
Yes. Yeah. Jungkook's Burn It. I mean, the hotness from Jungkook in that performance and the charisma that he has on stage. And just, I love the goofiness between him and Yoongi, like kind of back and forth. But then also Jungkook having moments of being cute too during Burn It. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Like the duality. But so of course it's Jihyun Jungkook. And it just, I don't know. There's something about seeing like two BTS members together on stage, or just how gorgeous Jimin was, even though it's Tony Montana
and his jean outfit.
He's like super
sexy,
but like the contrast between, you know, having Jungkook and then like seeing Jimin come out.
Or like when Namjoon came out for Strange, it was so fucking cool because it was like camera behind him as he walks out, so he's like backlit, you know. And remember, he had like his head shaved and he's wearing the glasses, so it's just like
the sunglasses
bringing back the rap monster. It was just so, and then it reminded me, of course they didn't show this in the movie, but it reminded me about how in that actual concert Yoongi gave him time to like perform you know, something that he'd been working on. And then I'm like, oh man, I'm really waiting for that Namjoon album, you know? But yeah, so I just love seeing the BTS members together on stage too, like it was such a great like feature in this concert movie. Like it made it so much even better than like what we were expecting, because we weren't expecting that. Like we should have, but we just weren't.
I know, like it was pleasant surprises, even though we kind of knew that they were there. We had just forgotten. Like, we were just so excited to be seeing D-Day in theaters.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was such a fun experience. I just, Yoongi is an incredible performer. I loved getting to hear his thoughts on just like being a singer and what it means to perform in concert to him. And
it was a little bit more like documentary style where we got some like behind the scenes stuff too. So that was very cool. I wish that the movie incorporated some of like his ments, or you know, even some of like the VCRs or something, because I felt like those were really, really memorable moments of the concert when we went to it, like the VCR leading up to Snooze and like the big tribute to Ryushi Sakamoto and like all of that was like so important to like the story of the concert. I felt like, you know, that I missed out on a little bit of that in the movie. But like I just filled Jordan in. I was like, oh, and so at the concert before this part, this is what happened, you know, whatever. So like I really loved it, but I wish that we would have like heard him talk, address everybody on stage more, you know. And like I love the super cuts of like all the performances, but I was kind of missing that element of like the concert to feel like it was like a concert experience of a movie instead of just like watching, you know, like the more documentary side of it, the performances, and then, and then like the cutting into like backstage or whatever.
I see that. Yeah. I kind of miss the VCRs and just like the storyline for the entire concert. But Brittany did make a point too. She's like, I wish the lyrics were on there, because even that, she's like, if there were English lyrics, I feel like I'd understand. Cause she was really curious to know what he was saying, just seeing him perform it, especially during Snooze. She turned over to me during Snooze and was like, what's he saying?
Right.
It's that part where he like repeats himself. And I think he's saying something along the lines of like, everything will be okay.
Everything will be okay.
But in the moment, like I couldn't remember that or like tell Brittany that. I'm like, yeah, you know, it would be nice to have the English translations for the lyrics too.
Totally. That'd be cool. And there was like English translations whenever like someone would speak something, but just not for the lyrics. Like it's assumed that when you go in, you know what the lyrics are saying, which like, like I was leaning over concert, to Jordan and I would give him like the rundown, like, oh, this song is about X, Y, and Z, but I'm not, you know, able to be super specific.
I think
that's
maybe why Brittany got a little curious, because I told her about Snooze. I was like, hey, this is for his, for the people, you know, who are idols or working towards their dreams right now. This is his message to them.
I really loved watching that again in the movie theater though, because the first time at the concert I was sobbing the whole time, so it was beautiful. Just, and also like I really enjoyed like the close-up camera shots of him too, like during the concert. Like he just looks so fucking incredible.
Seeing him perform these songs, Seishrita, Haegum, all that, like, man, the headbanging, the intensity on stage,
everything.
It's so wild to see who he becomes when he's up on the stage, or when he is performing for a music video or something. It always blows my mind, because so you know, Min Yoongi, like the gummy smile off stage, kind of shy, kind of quiet. Yeah, you know?
He talked about how he was like, you know, being carried on stage, carried off, or like at the end of the encore, how he just turns on his heel and walks off. And he talked about how he gives everything when he's on stage, absolutely everything, all of him, but when he's done, you know, he's just like, all right, I'm out of here. And I just loved hearing that straight from his mouth too, because it would have been what all of ARMY observed on the whole tour. So just great movie. If you haven't seen it, you should definitely go see it. Like, it's incredible experience, and like just a great appreciation for Min Yoongi and for his concert tour and all his music.
Totally.
Okay, anyways, we should probably get into the actual episode, so you know,
which we'll is about J-Hope. Which and is about Hope J-Hope. On the street. All the street. Soap. We're here for the soap.
Right. Soap all the time. So stick with us so we can talk about J-Hope and Hope on the Street.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Hey, it's Kyle Meredith, host of the Kyle Meredith With podcast, presented by WFPK at WFPK.org and the Consequence Podcast Network. It's a series that puts the spotlight on iconic musicians and actors, inviting them to drop by and talk about their latest projects, whether it's albums, TV shows, films, or beyond.
I'm going to say something I don't want to say. Here it goes. Without Spinal Tap, there is no Tenacious D.
Whoa. Man.
we get great stories and the biggest scoops from people like Garbage's Shirley Manson, the 1975's Matty Healy, Jack Black and Kyle Gass of Tenacious D, Maya Hawke, Kiefer Sutherland, and everyone in between. New episodes arrive every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. You can find Kyle Meredith With on the Consequence Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. We're your hosts. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany. And this is Stanning BTS,
your favorite informative fangirl podcast.
All right. Today, we're going to hang out for about an hour and we're going to be covering episode 3 and 4 of Hope on the Street. So we're going to be talking about what happens in the episodes and then also talk about the soundtrack, the titles of the episodes and the songs that they correlate right. with on the soundtrack.
Totally. Before we get into it, we want to say thanks, Iconics, for being here and for supporting us. If you'd like to support us even further, have access to our episode documents, our monthly virtual Iconic hangouts, and our sound checks, consider joining us on Patreon at patreon.com/standingbts. By the way, our next Iconic hangout is this upcoming Monday, the 22nd at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We hope to see you there. It's going to be super fun. We get to talk about this docuseries together. Mm-hmm. We get to share thoughts with other Iconics, what you think and feel about it, mm-hmm. what you're loving. And also we could talk about the D-Day concert D-Day. Also. Yeah. So please join us. It's always such a great time.
Mm-hmm. So thank you all for being here, for all of your support, and of course for listening. So let's get into episode 3, which is Lock Unlock. So in this episode, J-Hope is in Seoul and he is covering the dance locking.
Right.
So he does locking with Wong. Is it Wong?
Wong.
Mm-hmm. Wong. So for this, what I noticed in this episode is the filming style is a little bit different from like the first and second episode. There's a lot of these more like retro, like camcorder filters that he uses, mm-hmm. which just adds this more retro feel, a little bit more underground kind of scene. I feel like just going back to really his roots here, yeah. being in Seoul.
Yeah.
But also, like, throughout all of his dance performances that we've seen, it really was in this episode that I had a moment where he's got this yellow puffer jacket. I'm like, man, J-Hope is such a style king. He really is. He has, not only does he, like, show us the dance, all of these dance styles, and he has so much style with how he presents his dance, but then he's, like, working so hard on putting these outfits together that, like, you know, he just has a natural taste for fashion, yes. too.
Yes, literally, the fashion king, mm-hmm. airport fashion ruler, and also dance king fashion ruler. Like, he yes. looks phenomenal in all of these different outfits that he's putting together, and we're just enjoying every moment.
Yeah.
I also love what he shared early in the episode as he was kind of, like, introducing the topic of locking and what he's going to do. And he was reflecting, he said, my life is similar to the locking style dance. And he elaborated a little bit, saying basically that sometimes in life he realizes that he has to like lock himself up, meaning like it might be what he currently wants or it might be how he's currently feeling or something, but because of like the job he has to do or because of, you know, even with outside of his work, mm-hmm. you know, he might have to just let go of his own self, his own desires for a moment, and then he can come back to it later. So I thought that was an interesting perspective on how he relates to locking mm-hmm. and what he might be thinking about as he's doing this dance style.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He also shared a little bit further on that he feels like his skills in locking are lacking, which was a little bit surprising to us because as we watched this episode, we felt like he was fucking killing it. Mm-hmm. But of course, J-Hope, the biggest critic of his own self and a super perfectionist, is like, I'm actually not that good. You know, it's actually something that I falter in. So that was just interesting to see too, as he like continues to struggle with a little bit of like this insecurity related to his dance abilities and dance styles, which mm-hmm. like from our outside perspective, we consider him like one of the most incredible dancers in the world. So mm-hmm. talented. And yet he's so self-aware and hypercritical that he feels like he's actually incapable or not up to snuff yeah. of like these other dancers.
Yeah. I think a big part of it is like going and meeting with these other dancers too and meeting with Wong and being like, I know this guy is better at locking than
me. Oh, he puts so much pressure on himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely he puts so much pressure on himself, but he is good at locking. I think what's shocking to us about it is that like he is really good at like those muscle isolation movements, and locking has those like freeze frame moments right. within it. And we just feel like he's so good at that.
Right. Like very early on, before he even got to meet with Wong, fucking still life started to play, and it cuts to this dance sequence of J-Hope and Boogaloo Kin, and they're dancing a fucking still life. Like, we
were not prepared.
We screamed. We were not prepared. We were like, we oh my so fucking hard. God. Like, of course, we're watching these episodes together. And it's
like, just the beginning of still life, we're like, hold up.
And it took us a moment to like process, because we're expecting any music that's coming on to be like J-Hope, and then it wasn't. And we're like, wait, is this fucking still life? Mm-hmm. Crazy. Also, like, this really highlights, not only is J-Hope, like, he's good at locking, as we believe and we see, mm-hmm. but Boogaloo Kin is also really fucking fantastic at locking.
Yes, he is.
Coming naturally to him, he's really just feeling the music and he's just so going into it.
A lot.
For real.
Yeah.
But I love that they chose this song for the locking theme because of the lyric that Anderson .Paak says, like, can't lock me in the frame. Y'all can lock me in the frame, I'm mm-hmm. moving, you know?
Yeah.
I just think that's such a great like play on words. Throughout the performance, they had like a really cool like graphics going on, so like some lyrics would be highlighted like on the wall in neon, and so like that really pointed out like the parts of the song that J-Hope wanted to highlight. Mm-hmm. And I thought that they did such a good job like interpreting the lyrics of the song into a locking dance style. Mm-hmm. Like, it felt like this should have been done before. Like, it was so great, it was so perfect.
Yeah.
Unexpected but perfect is how he felt about it.
Yeah, I think it was an excellent song choice. Yeah. It makes so much sense with locking, having these like I was saying, these freeze frame moments. Yeah. And it makes me think very much of still life.
Right.
You know, like the art of, you know, still moments.
Right.
So it's just, oh, it was the perfect song to
still
choose.
Still life, but I'm moving, you know?
Yes.
Like, that's when they would literally, like, in the chorus, they'd be like, still life, pause, but lock. I'm moving, and then transition. Like, yeah. You know, yeah, locking into
it.
So good.
So incredibly clever. You know that J-Hope picked this song. Also, beautiful for him to just be also representing and like showing the love for his members,
right.
too. He's always so multifaceted in this way. Like, he's so deep.
Yeah.
J-Hope, he thinks so heavily about everything.
I think so too.
And yeah, I just love it. I love him.
Yeah.
I think this song, obviously, we love this song so much. It's a fun, like, duo song. With it's Anderson .Paak, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anderson .Paak and RM, and then also to get this duo dance with Boogaloo Kin and J-Hope.
Yeah.
So cool.
So great.
Yeah.
We love the collaboration, mm-hmm. and we love the support of his fellow member. Like,
yeah.
Amazing.
This might be one of my favorite performances so far.
I think,
Hope on the Street.
I agree, and it's also probably some of the surprise of it too. Like, I had no idea going into it, but it was just so good.
You know, the RM. Yeah, you know, we love Still Life too.
Right.
You know, so
of course.
So just to give you a definition of locking, we love that we get these definitions of each dance style. So locking is a dance style that originated with movements giving a sensation of locking the body in a manner similar to a lock, hence the name, applying strength to the body to create freezing lock movements. It was created at a club in Los Angeles in the 1970s when Don Campbell used the dance move Funky Chicken differently. It gained popularity mainly by dancing to lively music genres such as James Brown's funk. So super interesting to hear that it came kind of like out of the 70s, you know,
yeah.
Really not. I mean, I say not that long ago, but I mean, less than 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, this is a dance style that I just feel like is become so popular now. It's so good to just kind of like have a clear definition of really
yeah.
knowing what it is.
And just see how it's like evolved to be like this global dance, you
mm-hmm.
know, in only, you know, in like less than 50 years is
yeah.
very cool.
I wonder what the Funky Chicken is.
Literally reading this, I was like, we should have looked that up. I'm going to do the Funky
dance.
Chicken now. I'll learn it. And, you know, I'll show it to you next time I see you.
Okay.
I thought it was interesting too, that it was to like James Brown's funk music, because here's the funk coming back. We were talking about funk with popping.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of, it feels like a natural continuation of what, you know, the last episode was about. So what's interesting is where they actually meet up with Lock Wan is at this dance studio called, or like not even a dance studio, it's like a club.
Yeah.
It's called Brown Soul/Soul, like Soul the City slash Soul, like Soul Music.
Mm-hmm.
And at this venue, it's like a sacred place to the dance community, especially in Soul, but it's known internationally. Like, international Western well-known DJs like Soulscape and Mellow, they spin there on a regular basis, and weekends are packed with parties. partygoers. It's nearby YG Entertainment. So like YG staff members and employees are always hanging out there, like probably like, you know, spotting and looking for people
probably.
To recruit. You know?
I had not thought about that.
But they, at this dance hall or at this like kind of bar, they play a mix of soul and funk and hip hop and R&B. And here it is, like Lok Wang. This is like his home base. Like he's a DJ and a dancer, and he's like, you know, this like mecca that J-Hope is going to for locking. Mm-hmm. So like they're even at his venue, they're playing like the funk music still. Mm-hmm. They're playing like that soul music. I just felt like it embodied like what locking is so much. I found mm-hmm. that to be so interesting.
Yeah, it's an interesting club. Like it really looks like it's underground, doesn't it? I don't know if it is underground, but there's like no windows or anything like that, but you kind of get that feel from it.
And when J-Hope was in there, he was like, this is kind of like a sacred place, right? Like this is a very famous place. Like he was even like, I mean, a little bit starstruck, like being there, you mm-hmm. know, like, should I be here? Do I belong here? Type mm-hmm. of thing.
I also love how like once he walks in there, they almost immediately start dancing, like, you know, and they kind of laugh at themselves for that too. Like, man, we introduce ourselves and then we just start turn on the beat and
just dancers, dancer things.
Yeah. Something that was also really interesting to find out is that Wong was the DJ at the Jack in the Box listening party.
How fucking cool!
Very, very cool. And so they just got to reminisce together a little bit. And so Wong talked about how he met J-Hope as a trainee. And he just reflected on like saying, how has he become such a big star and yet he's still the same? You know, it really just shows that J-Hope is truly the same person. Like he's just so humble, so grounded, has such a good head on his shoulders. You know, it is really amazing for someone who has gained such popularity to, you know, I'm sure it's fascinating for people like Wong who knew him before and now personally.
And he's not even the first person here in this docuseries to mention that, mm-mm. you know, like I knew you way back when and I can't believe how much you haven't changed, you know, how much you're still authentically you, how grounded you still are, how kind you are, you know, like the fame really didn't get to J-Hope. It really didn't change him, who he is to a, you know, at his core.
No
like
inflated ego or anything like that.
Yeah. And I just love that. Like we always talk about, like ever since we got into BTS, like BTS humble kings, you know, but they really are, like they have, especially like members like J-Hope, they have such humility
and character.
So much integrity.
Praise him enough for that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we also found out that when J-Hope was a trainee, he trained at another studio called Level 6, where he learned all the other dance styles that he hadn't previously learned. So I guess he had learned like popping and Gwangju mm-hmm. with Neuron and hip hop too. But yeah, he learned like locking and a lot of these other styles mm-hmm. at this Level 6 studio, which was just, we didn't know that
right
up to this
now
point.
We know. And mm-hmm. it was like they knew each other at this time, you know. Very cool. So here we're like, we get another dance sequence, and we don't know the song that this one was set to, but this one is just J-Hope and Boogaloo Kin, and they're in like this really cool alleyway. And again, like the post-production, they added like kind of like neon signs and neon lights into making like this little tiny alleyway look very cool and vibrant. And so for us, like the big takeaway from this one is like, this is where we really felt in the episode. Can't believe J-Hope ever doubted his locking abilities, because he's like made for this style. Like you were earlier talking about his body control, mm-hmm. how he can control his muscles so precisely mm-hmm. in every different part of his body, and that is just really lends itself to being good at locking. Like he's very good at getting that. And then the other big takeaway is watching him watch Boogaloo Kin during this performance, mm-hmm. and J-Hope had such genuine interest and enthusiasm like for Boogaloo Kin's performance, and just like very appreciative of the dance, and just
living
in the moment.
Watch him. Wow, he did have so much appreciation for him, like it, and again, genuine enthusiasm. Like he is just so happy to be there with him,
so present, you know, like
enjoying,
I feel like,
the dance.
I feel like, you know, a lot of his commentary that's cut throughout these episodes, like this docuseries so far, is when he's being very introspective. He's maybe worrying a little bit, or like just thinking about himself, why am I this way, XYZ. Mm-hmm. But like in these moments of dancing, we get to see him be so present, so carefree, all those like worries or fears just like totally not even a thought is in his mind. happened.
Yeah.
And like, so I just love that he's like getting to experience that emotion through the dance too. You know, I feel like that's what he's setting out to do here. So yeah. I loved it.
Me too. Yeah.
Next up, immediately after that, we get the dance with the trio of all of them, with Lok Wong, with J-Hope, and with Boogaloo Kin.
Yes.
So this is so great because they chose to dance to the song Rapper's Delight by Sugar Hill Gang, and just the way that they fed off of each other. Like, the dance itself, in previous episodes, we've seen them spend time like choreographing, and here we didn't really see them like put in the work in the studio to choreograph something together. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of assumed, but most of it, when each member was dancing individually, felt very freestyled. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just feeling the music, going with your heart, going with your intuition, and just locking.
It was
just
very much freestyle.
So good. Mm-hmm. But then there was like these little moments where they would all kind of line up. Mm-hmm. They would all either, like, they might kind of mirror each other's movements or do a slight variation, and then they kind of use that as a transition between who was taking the lead, and they mm-hmm. might like kind of rotate through. It was just so fucking good. Like, yeah. I just really thoroughly enjoyed it. They all did so incredibly, and like, man, I just absolutely loved how they like passed it along to the next person.
Yeah,
it felt very cute and joyful, you know, just
super
all throughout.
Joyful. Yeah. And just how they're like looking at one another and making, you know, circling, making this circle, yeah. who comes front and center, and that passing it off, yeah, passing the choreo onto yeah. the next person,
right.
And it was very neat, very neat. Yeah,
yeah, it felt like really like street dancer style, you mm-hmm. know. It felt like the way that people who might like, not necessarily you're getting in a dance battle, but you're dancing together, you're like showing your skills together, like mm-hmm. it felt very coordinated in that way.
Yeah.
So I loved it. I loved how the three of them worked together, and like they just had a great time.
Yeah, me too. So we learned a little bit of history of locking and kind of just really what Wong's story was too when he started to get into dance.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about how there used to be a bit of a bullying scene in the dance underground scene there, until like the first dance group
from
the
like
lockers.
The states, the lockers. Yeah.
And so
they like came to visit or something, and oh. like kind of met with the community and like kind of started a change and set the culture. But prior to that, he was saying like, I really didn't want to join in. Like, I danced and me and my friends did our own thing, but we didn't mm-hmm. really join into the whole big locking community because of that bullying scene. But then he said after the lockers came and like visited and like showed how they do stuff, like it started to kind of change. And that's when he like
okay.
joined the scene.
So
more.
it wasn't specifically locking that right. had this type of scene. It was just the underground dance scene kind of had a little bit of this bullying.
It might've been specifically the locking yeah. underground dance scene, you know, the people that were locking at the time.
But I know for him it was whenever like the lockers came to visit that mm-hmm. like it really set the tone
right.
for him, and like understanding like, oh, there's styles of dance here.
Right.
There's, you know, there's a more serious level
right.
to this dancing and yeah. the culture.
And yeah. I think the lockers like shared with them, like, this is where locking comes from, like coming from dancing to the James Brown funk, and like mm-hmm. coming from like, you know, an alternative to the funky chicken dance, like something like that has to be fun. Like
right.
there's no place for negative attitude within
exactly.
that type of dance style, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah, it's a very fun and cheerful, spirited dance style.
Yeah.
And they really hit on that in yeah. this episode towards the end. They're like, that's really the core and the culture of locking,
right?
As it should be fun, it should be cheerful, we're all very spirited.
Yeah.
So at the end, with the dancing to Lock and Unlock, you see how cheerful and fun spirited this song really is. Like, we know how this song sounds like on the soundtrack. It is one of the brighter, more fun
mm-hmm.
like upbeat songs. But once you see it paired with like its choreo, you see just truthfully how cheerful and spirited, and like this song just shines so much more once the choreo and the locking is paired with it.
Yeah.
Which is cool to see. Like, it's almost like the song had that missing element, and then once we actually got to see the choreo and the dance with it and the locking paired with Lock Unlock, the song, it was like complete. It was full completion.
Oh my gosh, it's like how K-pop is meant to be consumed,
right,
you know, like
yeah.
the visual with the audio. And it's like, we've kind of, us personally, with like their mixtapes and everything, we've kind of gotten away of needing to pair the visual with like the audio, you
mm-hmm.
know, and not feeling like you maybe necessarily need that all the time for the complete package, but it's so cool that here you're like bringing it up. Like, it really does complete the whole circle here, seeing like how joyful it is when they dance and realizing like that's how the song is supposed to be and meant to be. And yeah, totally.
Yeah, and you know that when J-Hope wrote this song, that he had the style of the dance style locking in mind.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. So such a cute performance. So much energy, spirit. Major props to the post-production team too throughout this entire episode, because not only is it cool to be seeing them on the street dancing, but some of those effects that they put in, it really added so much to the visuals, I suppose, during the documentary.
Yeah, brings it to the next level.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes each like dance moment seem very cool and unique. So love that so much. Let's talk about the actual song itself, Lock on Lock. We love this song so much. Just diving into who wrote and produced it. So P-Dawg wrote on this song. We also have quite a few other writers to help out with like the English side of it. Benji Madden, Benny Blanco, Nile Rodgers, Cashmere Cat, Michael Cleveland, Blake Slatkin, Omer Fetty, and Magnus. And quite a few of those guys helped produce it as well. P-Dawg, of course, helping produce. Benny Blanco and Nile Rodgers are the big names on the production side of it as well. Apparently it's featuring Benny Blanco and Nile Rodgers, but like I don't hear a Benny Blanco in here. So like someone pointed out to me where he's at, or if they're just counting it as featuring, as like you produced it or something. I don't know.
I think he's in it,
or he has like background vocals.
I don't really know.
There's nowhere in the lyrics where it says like this is Benny Blanco.
You
know, it's not like it sounds like it, but you know, I could be wrong. I don't know anything. So tell me at the Iconic Hangout. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I'm on the same page with you.
Right.
It's just vibing with the song.
Right.
So speaking of vibe, again, very upbeat, happy, energetic feels. It's got this super funky beat that at the very beginning of the song, we love how it fades up into the song with this funky bass
beat.
So
good.
Yeah. It's kind of quiet, and then it's just like it's turning up.
It's like
slowly.
Building the energy.
It's easing us in. Yeah. So of course there's like clapping, there's a keyboard, there is a significant reverb on this funky bass guitar. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it is, there's just so much reverb, echoey kind of sound on it. There's synthy pop sounds, there's an electric guitar solo at the end, which is pretty cool to hear.
Iconic. Love
but,
it.
Yeah, overall this song just makes you want to smile and dance along. Mm-hmm. Very, very easy to dance along to. Out of all of the songs on this Hope on the Street Volume 1, we would have to say that this song in particular feels like it could maybe be on Hope World.
Yeah.
Like that's the level of kind of funk, spirit, upbeat, kind of more positive energy. It sounds like it could go right after Piece of Peace.
Mm-hmm.
It's really kind of like handholds with Hope World.
Yeah,
in a way.
The vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah, for
which
sure.
is cool because I just love getting to feel that. Oh, this is J-Hope. This is absolutely a song that J-Hope wrote.
Right,
you know?
I agree. Mm-hmm. I totally agree. I loved it so much. And, you know, also just still reflecting on the documentary episode that we watched here, like, I feel like, you know, I feel like we could lock. Like, I don't know if I could pop.
Us?
Yeah. But this song, I'm like, this is a little bit of a tangent. But, like, locking seems more approachable than, like, popping. Like, a little bit easier
maybe,
and like this song and the good vibe and how like fun it was to watch them do it, it kind of like is inspiring me. Like maybe I want to go home and like dance to this song, you
all
know.
Right.
I don't know,
you get back to me. Okay. You let me know how it goes.
next time I see you, I'll have a performance for you.
Right.
No, just kidding. But yeah, that's like, this song is very like feel good. It really makes you want to dance along for sure.
Yeah So let's talk about these lyrics and just really, we're going to summarize a lot of these lyrics because this was kind of hard to interpret at first. First time reading through, like you really kind of have to read it all as one. Kayla, I might just talk about the summary first before getting to the specifics.
Yeah, let's talk about the summary. We'll talk about like the main points.
Because I feel like it's more helpful to see the bigger picture first before getting into like the specific verses.
I agree.
But with Lock on Lock, it seems like it's a lot about balance and having moments of control and then having moments where you're out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And by having that balance, you are able to make things work, you know. It's good to find balance between control and not being in control, you know, times of focus and times of leisure. Mm-hmm. Being able to focus on yourself without, you know, but also being able to focus on others, right. You know, not doing just one or the other, having right. the balance between the two. And, you know, just having a lot of that it's almost making me think of just even the muscle control of locking, mm-hmm. like kind of freezing your body muscles and relaxing.
Right.
That can almost kind of ground you in a way too. It's making me think of progressive muscle relaxation. Right. You know?
Oh my gosh. That's so true. Yeah. Like, yeah. The tightening and releasing.
Yes.
And, yeah.
But it, being able to find that kind of middle ground balance mm-hmm. between the two, having both, not just having one without the other.
Right.
It seems very much like balance in life.
Yeah.
Lock, unlock.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah. In the first verse, he says, take the key. That'll be our all. It will be special because we out of control. So this seems very much like unlocking here, you know, like out of control, right. Letting loose. And then in the chorus after this, he says, I do it for you, just you. I don't know why we need it right. I do it for you, just you. I don't know why I make it right. And I think it's very interesting in this chorus where he's saying, I do it for you. But then later on, he says, I do it for me.
Right. Yeah. And he's like all throughout those lines, he's going back and forth between lock and unlock at the uh-huh. end of those lines too. So it's like, you know, when you're giving and taking, kind of, again, finding that balance of when you're like, it's making me think of what he said in the episode too, like locking himself up versus when he can let himself, you know, be open and like mm-hmm. the unlock side of it for sure. Mm-hmm. So it's like that, again, finding that balance between yourself and another mm-hmm. or like a situation. In verse two, it's kind of like the lock. So verse one was the unlock, the we're being crazy. In verse mm-hmm. two, he's like, now take a breath. We see it all. We're beyond special because we're under control. Mm-hmm. So like, this is when you're locked and you're really locking it in, you know? Mm-hmm. And he encourages you. So keep on like now and move on and move on. So it's like in both cases, either being locked or unlocked, you're acknowledging that there's something special about you. There's something unique about you, something you have to offer. But like keeping the balance between the two and moving on with it. Mm-hmm. And then I think like, again, the chorus coming back, the post-chorus coming back, acknowledging like that you need to find that give and take.
Lock, unlock. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Letting loose versus taking control and like doing both, you mm-hmm. know, figuring it out.
Can't be out of control all the time, but can't be in control all of the time.
Right.
Lock, unlock, turn it on and off, yeah. you know.
And I think it's talking about like knowing the situation for it too. Like there's some mm-hmm. time you can't just do that whenever you want. Like, oh, I'm locked, you know, like
right.
I'm no thoughts, head empty. It's like knowing and reading the room of when you personally need to lock or unlock mm-hmm. to that situation or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the lyrics when we got into it, and I do agree that it's more of like an overall summary vibe. Mm-hmm. Like the lyrics themselves aren't too dense in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the overall message is just take moments to rest, take moments to, you know, hustle mm-hmm. and just make sure that you're giving yourself those moments of both locking and unlocking.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he says like, I don't know why, but we make it right, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why this works, but this is the way it, yeah. you know, it helps. This helps.
That's one of the most like joyful, carefree lines of the song too. Uh-huh. Like the I don't know why is like, he's not trying to figure out the answer.
No.
He's just kind of letting it go by that mm-hmm. statement, you know, like I don't have to know. Mm-hmm. But we make it right. We make it work.
It works.
You know, it
yeah.
works. Yeah. I think it's so great.
Yeah.
Love this song. This is one of my favorites on the whole album.
Same.
It's just always stuck in my head. All I have to do is think about the title and I need to go listen to it. Like mm-hmm. it's such a good song.
It is.
Love it so much.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into episode four, which is I Don't Know. So for I Don't Know, this is all about the house dance style. And so for the house dance style, he is in Paris. So we find out that it's actually J-Hope's, one of his favorite styles of dance is house. And he loves house music and it gives him such a rush. So he meets up with a dancer in Paris named Yuxun. And Yuxun has so much insight, I feel like, in his episode. Yeah. Like, he really delivers some heavy wisdom. But he gives us kind of a general definition of how he would define house style. He said, house is all about culture and freedom. It allows cultural exchange from people all over the world. It's a way of feeling at home. Dance is past, present, future. It is time. And it's just super interesting to hear him talk a little bit about his own culture and how this like dance style seems to really bring in all of who he is, mm-hmm. all of the different cultures he has within himself. Mm-hmm. And that he just feels like, yeah, I can just really dance and vibe and feel the music and like really express myself with house dance style.
He said like, so he lives in Paris, but his roots are Congolese. And so he said that like, he really felt like his cultural dance styles that like, would maybe be danced there could be easily incorporated into house music. Mm-hmm. And he just loves that it can be such a blend of cultures and that like anyone can dance to house music basically, no matter where they're from.
Yeah.
I just found that so cool. And these dancers, these lifelong dancers being so deep about what dance is, like this is not the first quote about like what dance means to them that is just so mind-boggling to me, that this is like really truthfully how like saying dance is the past, the present, and future. Dance is time. You're thinking about it as like, I mean, we know dance is an art style, but you're thinking about it as like a recording of history when you're expressing it in that way. And I mean, when he's relating it to being in like a cultural change, think about like how, or cultural exchange, think about how far back dance is going and these dance styles, you know, where they are now, how far back they can even be traced, you know. I found that so interesting, like such a thought from him. Anyways, over a meal, J-Hope and Boogaloo Kin have a kind of a discussion where J-Hope is reflecting, and he reflected there that he loves what he does, but sometimes he doesn't enjoy it. And like, he's like, I love my music, I love my dance, I love to write, I love to produce, but sometimes I just don't enjoy it. And he wonders why he thinks the way he does. He's like, why do I have to think this way? How can I love it so much and still fall into these slumps, is basically the big question he's asking himself. And at this time too, he added that like he thinks that dance and house music is so fun and enjoyable, but like he feels like there's not many things that he actually truthfully enjoys, and he worries that sometimes he's like pretending to enjoy things and is worrying that sometimes that makes him feel out of touch with like who he truly is. And I just felt like this is such a very human conversation and like experience to have, that like, yes, like he's J-Hope of BTS, but like as we've seen through these episodes and how people are receiving him, like he's the same guy that he was 15 years ago. You know, he's just like this humble guy trying to navigate his space in the world. And you know, through this introspection, he realizes like that he just needs a break every so often, which I think so many of us have been there. Like when you get burnt out at work, you know, you could feel like, Bethany, you're an OT, I'm a teacher, like we love our jobs and we feel so passionate about what we do at work day in and day out, and like we know how important it is to us and to the people that rely and depend on us too. But like there's times that you don't feel that way, that you don't want to get up and go to work, that even though you know that it's like your passion and like your occupation and like what you're called to do, what you're supposed to be doing, like you don't always feel enjoyment out of that. And like that's like just part of the human condition, and like part of going through life is like, you know, rolling with that and adjusting to that and having those periods of lulls, and then you come back to a time that you love it more than ever, you know. But I just love that he's able to be honest with himself about that and realize this is why, that because I need a break, I need to not do it all the time, which is just like what we all need.
So exactly, like it's not what you do for a living, what you're passionate about, it's not always forever going to be enjoyable, you know,
or every aspect of it, you know.
Exactly. And those breaks really do help. That's why we take vacations, that's why we have PTO, you know,
that's why we have weekends off, goddamn.
exactly So after this we get a really cool shot of J-Hope freestyle house dancing with the Eiffel Tower in the background. It's very cool, super cool shot, super neat setup. Also, I'm like, I'm surprised it wasn't busier just with, right, like, the Eiffel Tower being right there.
I know. It's a great shot. But I love how they, like, kind of do these little, like, warm-up dance sessions. Just him and Boogaloo Kin, you know, before they go and meet with anyone, before they really dive further into it, it's just, like, let's us be fresh with it first. And yeah, this is just, like, one of those times. It was, yeah, a, it was a really cool scene.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So then we get another dance scene, and we get to see J-Hope dance to People Part 2.
Yes!
Which we were so surprised by because, I mean, Kayla, you were like, I wonder if he's going to do other BTS members. And here we are, like, People Part 2. It was right, so cool. Like, maybe not as surprising, as initially surprising
Still Life,
as Still Life. Right. But we're like, oh my gosh, he really is doing this. Like, he's really showing and representing the other members' music in this documentary, which is so cool.
Face on the next one. Yeah. Face on the What If episode. I'm calling it right now.
That would be really cool.
Damn.
Yeah. But this scene is kind of cool because they have them dancing against this wall, and there's like these Polaroid frames that are around them. This is kind of like post-production that they put over them. Mm-hmm. What I really noticed is they must not be able to play music in the street here, or like for some reason they couldn't play it like out loud because both J-Hope and Boogaloo Kin have like little earbuds in. Mm-hmm. So they must be listening to the music in their earbuds, right, and dancing along that way. But what you notice about this dance style is that, like, it's a very smooth and flowy dance style. Like, it doesn't seem to ever stop. There's a consistency with it.
Right.
It's so interesting coming off of Locking, where you feel those breaks in the choreo. It's like, no, this is a continuous, you don't stop dancing. Seems like it's more of a feeling, the vibe of the music a little bit more. I mean, you get that with all of them, but this one looks a little bit more carefree, flowy, like, yeah, you just kind of one dance move into the next and you totally just keep going. A little bit more high energy and like footwork.
Yeah, so much so much footwork. Like, that was a big takeaway initially from these first few viewings of, you know, these first few dance sequences, like, oh my gosh, the footwork, there's so much.
Yeah.
So just to get an official definition of house music, the term house originated at the Chicago Club Warehouse in the late 1980s. Subsequently, dancers in New York's underground clubs engaging in various dance forms such as tap dance, African dance, Latin dance, breaking, jazz, modern dance, among others, came together. So like when Yugsog was talking about like this is a blend of cultures here, mm-hmm, like these are like so many different dance styles from all over the world blended right here together into the house music. This fusion marked the inception of house dance style. House consists of elements of jacking, footwork, and lofting. So I think the jacking is where they kind of kick their foot out to the side.
Ah, yeah.
And then obviously the footwork, the feet are all over the place, bro. Mm-hmm. And then the lofting is like when they're lifting up more and, you know, moving higher.
You see that. Yeah,
you definitely see that. And so one, just so you know, one of the most renowned crews is Dance Fusion from the United States. So if you're more interested in house music, you can look them up.
Yeah.
So meeting with Yugsong at his studio in Paris, this was very cool. J-Hope originally became familiar with this dancer through Boogaloo Kin, who has like shared some videos with him. It was like, hey, if you're interested in house music, dance style, you should look this guy up. You should talk to him. And J-Hope was just so impressed by his dance and even more so impressed when they finally met in person. Mm-hmm. Yugsong shared that to dance well, you have to know where it comes from, like what drives and motivates it. And he was like pointing to his heart, you know, where it comes from in your soul, where it comes from mentally. Why are you dancing? What are you dancing about? That was very important to him. Mm-hmm. And so he shared that there was a time when he lost himself. And for 2 years, people said that he was done. He was never going to come back. He wasn't going to perform again. He'd never be at the top again. And he really felt defeated. And finally, he realized, like, I've got to do something about this. And mm-hmm. so to solve it, he took a trip to South Africa and he danced with kids there. There he taught these kids how to dance. He taught them house music. He taught them different dance styles. And those kids danced better than him. Mm-hmm. And he realized, you know, it was through his teaching that they were able to dance better than him. But that realization taught him how to open his heart mm-hmm. and how to learn how to change and not be so stuck in his ways. And from then on, he was able to dance freely again. He was able to come back and like climb up back to the top of the dance scene.
Yeah.
And this story really resonated with J-Hope because, as he had shared, you know, he often feels that he's not good enough and he struggles with those feelings, and he wonders how he can triumph those emotions. So mm-hmm. it was good to see that someone else has struggled similarly and they were able to overcome those emotions. So I think it gave him some hope that he could do that too. So that was very, very cool.
It was so, this is where I have the moment of like, oh man, Yuk-sun is deep, like for him to have that realization and how hard it must have been mentally in the moment for him to be like, I'm gonna go teach these kids, and then to have to like really accept, oh no, these kids are better at dancing than me. Mm-hmm. And it's like a humbling experience mm-hmm. where, you know, he's like, I can learn from them at this point. And like, it really did open up his heart mm-hmm. and like completely changed where he was as a dancer. Right. So I just feel like that is fascinating, you know, not easy. Like someone who thinks they're really good at dancing could so easily ignore it or deny that these children are like on his level.
Right.
So clearly that's not who he is. And he's like, oh man, no, I need to change mm-hmm. if I'm gonna.
And I can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Very cool.
Yeah. So Yuk-sun also speaks on that he has no regrets when he dances. He said he performs as if each performance is his last. He thinks about some of his friends who have sadly passed, and he remembers that you never know what could happen tomorrow. And so he talks about really how every performance is a gift, and that he goes in there and performs it as if it's his last. And I just think it's beautiful because you're going to give it your all if you feel like it's mm-hmm. your last. You're going to put all of your passion and soul into that performance if you feel like it's your last.
This is especially poignant too, because where they're sharing this bit about him is towards the end of the episode, and they're just about to go into the I don't know dance sequence. Mm-hmm. So to hear that from him where he's like, I perform like each performance is my last, just makes it even more impactful to then go and see him dance and see him and J-Hope dance together in this house style that he loves so much, that he's the, you know, the top of the game at. So
And to also say he has no regrets when he dances. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like that'd be hard for a dancer, especially with like
be very hard for J-Hope.
J-Hope,
you know,
the perfectionist so that he critical. Is.
Yeah.
So it's kind of in this moment where J-Hope shares with us at the end of the episode, you know, he's been asking like, I don't know why. I don't know why I doubt myself. I don't know why I think this way. I don't, you know, whatever. And J-Hope kind of comes to this realization that admitting that you've lost some enjoyment in what you do is the first step.
Right.
And he says that even though it's hard, it's how you can start to change and feel better again.
Right.
And so for him to be like, I don't know why I've lost enjoyment in this, but, you know, like I can accept that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And that acceptance is a huge first step. And I think that's like, you know, I think
he even sheds a tear over this,
you know,
but like it's so true in life. And I think like it's the hardest thing to do is accept that this is the position that you're in. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people always say that it's like an old adage, like acceptance is the first step, and really just being honest with yourself of I don't enjoy this anymore is where you're able to take the first step and work on that. So that if you do want to enjoy it again, you can start to get back to it, but you have to admit it first.
Yeah.
And it was really beautiful to see him come to that realization at the end of the episode.
And very neat that Yuk-sun also, his story is very much that too of like, admitting and really just kind of like saying, oh, this is how it is. It's definitely the first step to creating change. So then we get the I don't know dance sequence. So they're on the streets of Paris, and Yuk-sun said most Paris dancers use the street to perform, so it's very common to perform there. But Yuk-sun and J-Hope dancing together to House is just so enjoyable to watch because Yuk-sun seems so relaxed to me.
Mm-hmm.
He's like doing a fantastic job.
The footwork is crazy.
Yeah, like they're dancing insane, like crazy choreo movements. But Yuk-sun really just seems like so at home, so kind of carefree and relaxed in this moment. And Hobie also seems very chill, not too, you know, too high, just comfortable. Right. They seem so comfortable. Yeah. And it looks like genuine enjoyment while they're out there just like right. having this easy, nice, flowing dance.
Yeah, it's not like over-the-top energy, you know, like when you're putting on performance and you're just full body, just really, you know, exuding out of you. But it was like all this intricacy going on with the footwork, all this movement and, you know, some freestyle, some like coordinated with that, you know, the song. Mm-hmm. But then like, especially Yuksong, his upper body, so relaxed, mm-hmm. his face so relaxed. You can tell he's enjoying it, but he was just chilling.
He was
like,
chilling,
and it just, I think it just goes to show how much like, at his core of what he believes the dance style is and should be, like mm-hmm. it should be that place of enjoyment, you know, it shouldn't be stressful, it should be feeling that music and, you know, like mm-hmm. that embodiment of who you are. And I love again his idea of like digging into yourself and like where's the dance coming from.
Yeah.
And that was just really coming through here in this last performance, so I loved it so much.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
very cool, very cool. And it was like a nighttime shoot too. Uh-huh. Like maybe on a bridge or something. They're on like this big sidewalk part of the bridge. And I just
particularly
loved
seeing these two together. Yeah. Like, I just think it was cool to see them dance together.
And I know we got like this whole episode from Yuksong, but like I would watch a whole like hour long interview of just him like answering questions about life and dance.
He has a lot of wisdom.
So much wisdom. Yeah. Yeah. What a great find for this docuseries. So we loved it so much. Let's talk about the song itself. I don't know. Smaller producers and writers for this one, produced by P-Dawg, written by the wonderful J-Hope and P-Dawg and Moon Soo-jin. And this is featuring Yoon-jin from Les Sserafim. And she's just such a great feature. Mm-hmm. She adds so much to the song. She has so many gorgeous vocal runs. It just really makes it a beautiful song with
she's
her.
She's a core piece of the song, yeah, for sure. She's for like sure. almost like... almost the forefront, like J-Hope sounds like it kind of comes in at a verse, you
right.
know, like
yeah.
she's very much a strong focus.
She is the chorus, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. The vibe of the song, man, it is solid house beat. Like it is that clubbish fist pumping in the air mm-hmm. club music. It has that soaring liftoff vibe that you can get in the song. Yes. Yeah. It's also very common to sample vocals in house music, which makes a lot of sense for the spoken sample that happens at the start of this song.
Yeah. So let's talk about the sample. So what's really cool is that it's in French, which is just J-Hope the fucking attention to
details.
He's just a fucking genius. Mm-hmm. Like he's like, I'm gonna dance with this guy in Paris, and by the way, we're putting French at the beginning of this song. It all uh-huh. goes together.
Yeah.
So smart, the foresight, the wherewithal, incredible. So it starts off by saying, to fall in love at first sight, everything is important, but to want is to be able. After the rain comes sunshine, nothing should be left to chance. So, you know, very much like thinking about like what you're falling in love with, how you're falling in love, but knowing that it's not just gonna happen on its own
mm-hmm. or to sustain it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
To
which
continue
is kind of thinking about J-Hope with his like relation to enjoying things and not enjoying them and like figuring out how he can get back to it.
Yeah.
So in the first verse, this is Yoon-jin, and she says, guess we're on the edge trying to figure out what's really on your mind. Don't take it for granted. You believed that I would never leave your side. Oh, I can't believe it all. The day I took everything from your heart. They say nothing lasts forever. Is it now that I realize? And immediately hearing her verse here, after watching the whole episode and seeing like J-Hope's kind of struggle and what house music represents and what the song could represent to him, immediately I'm like, her feature is dance personified. This is not supposed to be like, I mean, this song could totally be interpreted like a relationship. I think there's like many meanings, but like to me immediately, I'm like, this is showing his relationship to dance, not a romantic relationship, but that personal relationship with this thing that he really enjoys that can like come and go with the enjoyment mm-hmm. and, you know, thinking that it should be lasting forever and maybe coming to the realization, like, is it or can it?
Can it?
Yeah.
In the chorus, like totally, like definitely dance personified. So in the chorus, he says, I don't know why I'm like this. I don't care. It doesn't matter now. I don't know why I'm like this. I don't know. I don't care. And I think this is just like really empowering, because that moment that he has in this episode where he's like, it's just admitting it and saying like, I don't have to know why I don't enjoy it anymore. You know, I just have to accept that it's not enjoyable. And once I do that, that's when change can happen.
Right.
And so he's saying in this chorus, like, I don't know why I'm like this. I don't either. You know, I don't know why I'm not enjoying dance as much, or, you know, writing music as much, or I don't know why I'm so self-critical, but you know what? I am self-critical.
Right.
Or you know what? I'm not enjoying it, and it doesn't matter now. You know, so I don't have to know why.
Yeah, because so much of the toil and torment that we put on ourselves comes from asking us that ourselves that question, like, why am I like this?
Right.
But like, there's usually not an answer to that question. No. Unless it's like childhood trauma.
You're
okay.
Just gonna run in circles.
Yeah. I mean, and even if you do find the answer, what then? Mm-hmm. You know, like even finding the answer is not going to take this problem away mm-hmm. from you. So you're kind of like, you're skipping over that to find the real solution, which is that acceptance, and then you can learn how to move on.
Yeah.
Once you can learn how to like not care about the reason why, which is so freaking hard to do, but once you can, and you know, you have the opportunity for growth after that.
Yeah, it's not easy to admit it sometimes.
It's really,
you know,
not.
And just accept it.
No.
But that really is what needs to happen, and there's just so much wisdom to that.
Yeah.
And so in the second verse, J-Hope, it's J-Hope now, and it's his own verse, and he says, yes, we're on the edge, it's true, but I've been caught up in my mind. Okay, I took it for granted, but I can't lose you this time. I've changed me now. And I love this because it feels like, you know, that response to dance, like he's talking to dancing.
Yeah.
And he's saying like, yes, I understand that we're on the edge. Like I, you know, things are not the same. It's either like, it feels very make or break right now. Mm-hmm. Like, how can I save this?
I'm
how
just
can
going I through the motions.
Right. Like, right. You know, getting caught up in my head, and then just, you know, having this moment of like, I can't lose you and I'm going to change. Like
right.
I will change. I will find a way to make this work. I've changed me.
I've changed me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even the smallest change of just acceptance, I think, is what mm-hmm. helps him get to that place.
Yep.
Very cool. Even like in the pre-chorus with them together, they say like, I stay up all night with wide eyes. You and me, where are we going to be at? I don't know. And so it's just like kind of like knowing that it's a work in progress and mm-hmm. that it's like always something that like you may work through it and start to feel better about like him and his relationship to dance. And there could be a time that he starts to falter again and mm-hmm. starts to not enjoy it again. But it's just kind of like knowing again, you're going to get through that and you're going to like take that step and the acceptance and the change just as it comes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love this song too.
Me
fucking
too.
Love it.
Yeah, this is one of the better songs on the album too.
Yeah.
We're gonna
say that about every single song, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, this is especially like Lock Unlock and then into this song, I just can't get enough of it. Mm-hmm. So love it so much. I love the episode on it. Again, I'm just like blown away by this docuseries.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't
there's
wait.
So much to it.
Right. There's so much to it. We will continue and finish this mini series with one last episode about parts 5 and 6 in a couple weeks. Not next week, because next week we're doing the Iconic Hangout with you guys on Monday. So join us for that.
Yep.
And then the following week we'll have an episode about the last two songs in this album, an episode 5 and 6. And then, you know, who knows what's coming after that? Maybe a Namjoon album. Maybe.
You really want that RM album, man.
You know, who knows what we're talking about next. But we'll figure it out when we get there. And we really hope that you guys enjoy our discussion about these episodes as we go along. We can't wait to hear your thoughts too at the Iconic Hangout, so make sure you join us again. That is on April 22nd at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you are on our Patreon, our $5 Patreon, that link will go out that day, so you can just click the Google Meet and join us. So we look forward to hearing about what you're wondering and thinking about this docuseries so far. So we do want to say a special thanks to our supporters on Patreon, especially our VIPs, Eileen, Michelle, Holly, Meg, Rachel, Robin, and Deja. Thank you guys so, so much for all of your love and support. We hope that you are doing well. If you enjoyed this episode or any of our previous ones, please let us know. Write us a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. It helps encourage other people to listen. And, you know, people really take your reviews to heart. So let us see them. Let us read them. We'd love to see it. And then if you want to connect with us, you can always get in our Instagram Instagram comments when we post about the episode. We love to hear your thoughts there as well. Of course, you can find links for all the things in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for standing BTS.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video. Find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.